It is the middle of summer as we are recording and releasing this EPP bonus episode, but who's excited? Who's excited for fall? You know, it's still a little ways away, but we're starting to get there. Slowly, some of the leaves are beginning to, well, kind of change. Some stores are beginning to put their autumn collections out, and more campfires are definitely happening. Whether it be a summer camping trip, it's perfect time to sit around and talk in the dark with friends and family and maybe share a ghost story or two. Today's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is going to give you some great ammunition for doing just that. What was the cause of a paranormal time slip for a pair of delivery drivers one dark afternoon? Did a demon exercised on a mission trip follow a young woman back to her dorm? The father keeps his promise to his daughter, a promise that can only be fulfilled in death. And the story of a family, murdered, still resides at the place of their death, with a story to tell more than 200 years after their brutal passing. That's what we're going to be getting to on today's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. So whether it's the morning, afternoon, evening, or maybe, just maybe, you're sitting around a campfire and just pressed play, get ready for some great ghost stories. From Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. This is EPP bonus episode number 256. Stay with us. Have you ever had a time slip, or were you ever in a situation where things just were not adding up? Things just did not make sense. Maybe you're looking at the clock, and this could be an obvious thing, and you see it's one time, you go about your business, do a whole bunch of things, you go back, check the clock again, and oh, it's like earlier than it was before, or it doesn't seem enough time had passed between what you had been doing. Or things just don't make sense. Radios don't come in. Phones don't work. Just things don't add up. They're very weird moments if you've ever been in one. Because they happen and they're confusing. And then just as fast as you fall into it, you come out of it. And everything's working and going just fine again. It can be very, very haunting, very spooky. In our next story, we hear about a young man on a college job doing delivery work. Him and a coworker go out into the wilderness to deliver a package to a mysterious location. And everything just seems to be off. But why is everything so off? It's a mystery. It still remains unsolved to this day. Take a listen. This takes me back to around the time I was in high school. The internet was just becoming a big thing. Delivery trucks often worked to mail out junk to people that they would buy online. I remember ordering things in the mail as a kid. This is way before Amazon Prime. It would always take forever. So it's always much more likely to ask for a ride to any store instead of buying things through the mail. It wasn't until one of my friends, John, told me his dad worked for one of the delivery services. Not the U.S. Postal Service, but you could likely guess one of the other two options. And they encouraged us at the time to ship things out. My friend's dad encouraged us to sell things online. It was a new thing to do, and he had an employee discount. So we were selling comic books, sports cards, VHS tapes, and even buying stuff cheap from China in bulk to sell online. We really didn't make too much. We only sold so many items throughout the week, but we had a few dollars extra to spend. I didn't like doing this too much because I would have to do everything online at John's house. My parents were usually on the phone, so using the internet sucked. This is back when you had to have a dial-up connection, and it took your phone line. We had to get bank accounts back then, too, because some people would send us checks or money orders, and some of them were fake, so the bank would usually help us out. His dad did most of the work. He gave us boxes and bubble wrap to put our items in, and he worked for the delivery company, so most of the time, we were shipping our stuff for free. It was before cell phones had all those internet things. Cell phones back then only had the game Snake on it, and you were lucky if you had it. I ended up going to college a few years later. Sadly, my friend went to a different one, but it was when the internet was still very much budding. And there was a commercial on TV with the guy saying, "Dude, you're getting a Dell." It's what I had when I went. My parents really helped me out. I've only had a handful of jobs when I was a teenager, so I feel pretty good I'm able to help them out if they're ever in a financial situation, because I can remind them they bought me nice things and helped me out. We all stayed in communication mainly through instant messenger on the internet because long distance calls were way too much back then. I was done selling junk online by then, but his dad always told me if I ordered things, he could get the tracking number and make it arrive faster. I never wanted to bother him about that, but I did ask if he could help me get a job with his company. My friend John worked with his dad before. I didn't feel too bad asking for a job referral. The pay was all right, but the work wasn't too fun. I'd be up late night scanning boxes to update the tracking information and usually spent a reasonable amount of time helping them load the trucks. The job can get confusing. With certain orders, they had some specific boxes that are overnight shipping. Some boxes are insured. Others might be very fragile. Due to some orders, a few of us would get called in, and normally nobody expects the mail to be delivered on Sundays or holidays, but it happens. There was a specific overnight delivery order. One of the workers said the delivery was for that night, but he asked if I'd be able to go with him. He was obviously overworked. I wasn't scheduled to drive, but if you're not scheduled to drive, you can't even be in the driver's seat. I knew him long enough not to worry, even if I had to drive. I was likely going to quit after graduation, so I really didn't care. I may have given away which one I worked for. If you worked for the company, you might know, so I won't say exactly what year I worked for them. It was a college job. I only worked for them a few years, so let's try to keep that private. We were using maps back then instead of GPS, and you can likely tell how old we are now because we had to use a payphone because the original place was an abandoned house covered in tall grass or what may have been some business at some point a long time ago. We drove back to a closed shopping center but managed to use a payphone. Our cell phones had no signal, and we tried calling each other just to check if one of our phones didn't work properly, but neither of them worked. We figured that maybe it's a different place, and common for any zip code to have those extra digits. Somebody from the facility gave us directions to the closest similar address, and we both thought that over the years, some towns and streets change names. We ended up on a dirt road. Then when we found a house, their front wooden gate was shut. So my coworker was driving around and using the headlights of the truck to find a mailbox or anything. You'd think if this place ordered any special overnight package, they'd make sure it got there safe, so it was a little strange. He couldn't find anything, put a note on the gate informing them that we arrived there to deliver that overnight package. It's standard, especially if we require a signature and nobody's home. Technology might be different now, but we carried a device where people would write a digital signature. It was a standard even for anything you only paid the cheapest insurance to have delivered. To make things worse, we tried to turn the radio on, but nothing was working. No signal for our phones, and the other problem is, if the people who ordered the package didn't see the note on the wooden gate, or if the wind blew it away, we would get in trouble. We didn't have cameras to take a picture of the place to prove we drove there at the time, so we were starting to get worried. We joked around a little bit, found the paper he wrote down to reach the address so we could reverse engineer our way back to where we used the payphone. I was joking around with my coworker on how at the time it must really suck ordering some things. Nothing was very discreet back then. Receipts and logos would be all over the boxes. We both were laughing how we wouldn't order some things if there was a box with Victoria's Secret on your neighbor. They might ask questions. They were much more relaxed, but still not too sure where we were and took the map out. More street signs are missing, but to be fair, we didn't recall seeing too many while driving around to begin with. My coworker managed to find the first address we stopped at, the first place we thought to deliver the package, and he mentioned, "If you've seen a train wreck, you've seen enough." Then he stopped, enough to make me glad that seatbelts were invented, because I likely would have gone through the windshield. He didn't appear frightened, only saying that may have been the right address because there's a light in that house. These delivery trucks handle like buses, so it was a rough ride with his reaction and telling me we might have to drive back and take that note off the wooden gate. He picked up the box, then slid the door open while I waited in the passenger seat, which I'm glad they had those then because now they're never standard and most trucks only have a single seat. I noticed he didn't close the door when he got back and started to drive. We usually leave the engine running because we don't stop very long, so it saves gas not to cut the engine. It was freezing in the truck, or van, since we called them the same thing, but I asked him if he was sure we shouldn't take that note off the gate from the other place. It wasn't until we hit a traffic light when I told him it was freezing and closing that door when he said, "No, we're going back. I'll give them a call if they want." I started to think that it was why he asked me to ride with him, thinking in my head, maybe he's been so overworked he's only thinking about getting home after the delivery. Then the radio turned on. We were finally back near a clear signal. It was just a commercial playing and mentioned, "Are you feeling okay?" We were on the road, and as the headlights from the oncoming traffic shined, you could tell that he was sweating. It looked like he dumped his head in a bucket of water. I lowered the radio volume and asked him if he wanted me to drive, and he was all tongue-twisted. Then I told him to turn off on the next exit because I wasn't comfortable with him driving. I was snapping my fingers in front of his face until he finally took an exit and parked on the side. I was almost willing to restrain him because of how he looked physically. Sure, nobody wants to be the passenger in any vehicle you think might get in a wreck, so I was yelling at him. I was still yelling at him and likely threatened to fight him, and even while driving, I was yelling at him how he wanted me to drive with him in the first place and not to do anything stupid. He said the door opened, but it disappeared. So I dropped the package and left. I'm thinking, he's overworked. I'm not supposed to be driving. We went to the wrong place and we might be fired because of this. I was in a really bad mood thinking I'll upset my friend's dad when I get fired for screwing up. And I was in college at the time, so I had to go to class the next afternoon. So I'd have to stay awake all night to attend it. It wasn't until a week later when that coworker said, "It opened the door. It was there, then disappeared, and I got scared. I wasn't there to see it. I thought of him being overworked, but here's where it gets strange." That's going to wrap up the preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 256. If you want to hear the conclusion to this story, then become an extra podcast person. Sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person on our website at ghostpodcast.com or at patreon.com/ghostpodcast. Podcast. It's only $5 a month to become an EPP. That gets you access to all of our bonus episodes, all 256 of them. Plus, you get access to advanced episodes weeks before they are released. If you want to take it a step further, you can become a yearly EPP member. That gets you 1 month free. Gets you all the stuff we just talked about. It also gets you a bonus EPP USB drive. Cool wooden 8-gig USB drive that I send out to you in the mail. It has on it 10 hours of exclusive content, including a bonus EPP episode only for yearly members. Also, an hour-long Richard and Chattanooga special, which we hear calls that have never been played back on the show before. Some real shocking ones and some very interesting pieces of his story, so to speak, that we were unaware of previously. It's quite the special. You also get some of my favorite interviews I've ever done, some that even have not even been released yet. It's all there for you when you become a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. Check it out and help keep this show on the air. Until next time, for Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.